This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Federal judges ruled that the lines that draw the districts for North Carolina Senate and House districts are unconstitutional. A three-judge panel ruled yesterday that legislative maps are racially gerrymandered and must be redrawn. But they will allow the election in November to proceed under the old maps. And Donald Trump continues to create controversy, saying Second Amendment supporters might be the only way to keep Hillary from becoming president and nominating federal judges. Governor Pat McCrory says the comments were not controversial until Hillary's campaign spun them. Joining us, as he often does, is political junkie Ken Rudin. Ken, welcome back.
Thank you, Frank.
Let's talk about this federal court ruling. Now, this is yet another ruling against the state legislature having to do with discrimination. But what does this one mean for voters, since the maps are going to stay the way they are?
Well, right, they'll stay the way they are for 2016. Of course, they say that with only 80 plus days or some odd days to the November 8th election, it's too soon, too late in the process to redraw everything and then hold elections later. But they say by 2018, these have to be redrawn. But it's interesting, they're talking about these have been unconstitutionally drawn for the last two elections, the last two cycles, and those were the cycles where the Republicans picked up the state legislature for the first time since, 1066 or something. So obviously, since when?
No, I'm just saying, I mean, obviously they were in office and able to redraw those maps because they had gotten control of the legislature. So that's
right.
What allowed them to racially gerrymander the districts in their favor. But yes, you're right. Two elections since then to the state house, which solidified their control over state government.
And it's not only the state legislature that has been redrawn this way. Remember, the federal judges earlier said that North Carolina's of 11 congressional districts, two of them were drawn with a racial gerrymander in mind. So really, the legislature is getting its head handed to them by the federal judges. Now, with the state legislative districts, earlier with congressional districts, and I think there were some school board races that were also deemed unconstitutional last month, I think, or something like that. So, I mean, even though it's, I think there's 170 districts in North Carolina and 28 are racially gerrymandered, but obviously it affects all those around them. Basically, the Republicans try to pack as many African-American and people of color voters into one district to leave the outlying districts lily white and there for Republican victory. So, at the Democratic convention, there's a state rep by the name of Pricey Harrison, who's a longtime friend of mine, who's a Democrat from Greensboro. And I was talking to her about the chances for election in November, the victory for the Democrats. And she said, we'd have a much better chance if these lines weren't so racially gerrymandered. And that's all she talked about. And obviously, this week, the federal panel agreed with her.
Well, I wonder what it does to the process for the courts to allow the November election to go forward under the old lines. I mean, clearly, there's just not enough time. But again, you have a situation where two elections were held in districts that are racially gerrymandered, discriminatory, and illegal. And now, you've got a November election coming up, and we have to deal with it one more time. And I just wonder what this does to the whole sort of confidence in the process.
Well, that's a very good question, because remember the original primary in North Carolina, I think it was originally in March, and everything went along as scheduled except for the congressional races, because the court said it was racially gerrymandered. So they didn't hold those primaries until June after there was a redrawing. Now, there's nothing that says that we can't postpone the election for the legislature on November 8th and extend it to December. I believe that happened in Texas a few years ago when the lines were thrown out. They had to redraw them, and they just did it a month later. It's confusing, and it'll probably be, change a lot of strategies for a lot of members of the legislature. But as you say, if this is illegal districts, then and look, this is illegal, but we're going to let this go on. That's pretty remarkable.
But with regard to what Representative Harrison said to you about things might be better, I mean, if you go back to the previous ruling on voter ID, where the courts used very harsh language to criticize the racial discrimination that was inherent in that legislation, what effect does that have? Because voter ID was thrown out, which is to say that we'll go back to a longer voting period, Sunday voting. In other words, all the things that were discriminatory and inhibited African-American vote are gone now. Might that have an impact on the general election outside of these districts, the governor's race, for instance?
I, I think it does. I just think that, I mean, North Carolina, as long as I've been following politics, always had a reputation of good. I mean, look, of course, there were some ugly racial campaigns in the early 1950s that are now classic. But for the longest time, you think of the high education standards North Carolina has, you think of good government, even though, you know, there were partisan differences, but it wasn't the kind of election that made people look at North Carolina, say, as an outlier, as a sore thumb that's sticking out in the country. And Frank, as you mentioned, between the voter ID and now another branch of the government that seems to be racially gerrymandered, and then, of course, you have the controversy over HB2 and what's going on there, which also is bringing national attention, not to North Carolina's benefit. It's just a sad commentary on what's happening to the state.
Let's talk about Governor McCrory's chances again. And he, in an interview on Thursday, first of all, Governor McCrory has aligned himself with Donald Trump. And I wonder what this does to any possibility that he can hang on to his moderate credentials, which is what seemed to get him into office.
You know something, I've said this over and over on your show, and not that I have sympathy or expressing one side or the other, but this guy, the governor of the state, has been pulled in so many directions. He was a moderate mayor of Charlotte. He ran as a moderate pro-business Republican. And then because of his battles with the state legislature, he made a decision. He said, do I keep my moderate credentials or do I move to the right with alongside my state legislature? It looks like he's made his choice. Look, even when he endorsed Donald Trump in June, it didn't seem that wholehearted. He said, well, look, I said I'm going to back the Republican nominee, and so Donald Trump will be the nominee, so I'll back him. But also, to get involved in the Second Amendment quote, which is so far beyond the pale, and other than Donald Trump, you know, blind loyalist, I mean, this to me was, you keep talking about how Donald Trump seemingly crosses a line when he mocks the disabled reporter, when he mocks women and Muslims and Mexicans, but this, by almost any stretch of the imagination, seemed to be, at least in the way I heard it, a call to violence. And even Richard Burr, who has somewhat of an interesting racist here, said that he was very disappointed and surprised that Trump would say something like that. Why does McCrory get himself involved in that? What good does it do him? Given the fact that it's brought so much outrage around the country.
I was hoping that you, as the political junkie, could answer that, because he didn't have to support and back Donald Trump in his comment that seemed to call for violence against his opponent. Seems to me that Pat McCrory could have said nothing about what Donald Trump said, but he felt the need to defend Donald Trump.
It's just remarkable, especially somebody unless he feels that look, I'm in big trouble. I'm going to have to make a decision. I can't run on gray. I have to run on black or white. And maybe he feels that aligning himself with the conservative movement in North Carolina, which we know from Jesse Helms, you know, the Jesse Helms days, that it is a significant contingent of Republicans who are very conservative in North Carolina. Maybe he feels, look, if I'm wishy-washy on that, then I have no shot at winning. But I'm not convinced he picked the right side. I mean, but maybe it's just too late for him to say, look, after all, I am a pro-business moderate, and that's how I'm going to run.
Yeah,
after the last couple of years, he may not have a choice.
Let's take a look nationally at what's happening in terms of down-ballot races like the governor's here in North Carolina, other races where Republicans are standing for election and how they're, and even Democrats for that matter, whether they choose to distance themselves from or align themselves with their presidential candidate. What's happening elsewhere in the country?
Well, you know something, I think you have to go, I was going to say you have to go back to Goldwater to see so many Republicans, down-ballot Republicans running away from the top of the ticket. But I don't think it was even this bad in 1964 with Goldwater, because here you have so many Republicans. You have Susan Collins of Maine is not running for re-election, but she said she could not vote for Donald Trump. Ben Sasse of Nebraska and Jeff Flake of Arizona said they cannot vote for Donald Trump. But even those who are running, Mark Kirk, the embattled Republican in Illinois, says there's absolutely no way I'm voting for Donald Trump. John McCain and even Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House, were conveniently absent when Donald Trump visited their state to campaign for it. And look, the Democrats only need a net gain of four seats in the Senate to pick up four seats to get majority. And there are so many scared Republicans, Kelly Ayotte of New Hampshire, Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. I mentioned Mark Kirk and John McCain, Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania, even the Indiana seat where Evan Bayh has now come into the picture, Republicans are seriously, seriously nervous about losing control of the Senate, and many are saying that our focus should not be on holding, trying to win the presidency, but really trying to hold on control of Congress, because if we have Hillary Clinton and a Democratic Congress, then we'll be finished.
Trump campaign officials are meeting with top Republican Party officials today. What do we expect from that meeting?
Well, I think, look, I mean, from my understanding, Ryan Priebus, the head of the Republican National Committee, is just pulling his hair out. He got an assurance from the Trump people earlier that, okay, he's going to now be more on script. And, you know, you saw when Donald Trump read that endorsement of John McCain, Kelly Ayon, and Paul Ryan a week or so ago, it clearly that note was not written in Donald Trump's handwriting. He was almost grimacing as he was reading that statement. But you know something, and then it comes along with the Second Amendment comment about stopping Hillary Clinton. And look, there's no mechanism for removing a nominee from the ballot. There's nothing they can do. But so right now, you see the Koch brothers, you see George W. Bush, you see a lot of Republicans saying, look, maybe the White House is lost. We've got to keep control of Congress.
Ken, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Frank.
Ken Rudin is the political junkie. You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we'll find out about North Carolina's tobacco industry and the role it played in the baseball card industry and its history, and find out which is the most expensive baseball card in history. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.